Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
And as ever, we're not joined by him. We have sacked the vegan.
For getting a prediction correct.
Yep. Got his prediction right. No, that's not good enough, mate. You can fuck off.
he had a double, actually, thinking about it, because I think me and him both went for 2-0 against Cheltenham as well, didn't we?
Yeah, the 4-0 didn't come out, did it?
No.
So
it very rarely does, Chris.
Yeah, we've still got to stick with that.
I've still got to stick with that.
Why did I say that? Why did I say it? Never mind. We'll carry on.
You're committed now.
Good week of fixtures.
Yeah, very, very good. More importantly, very good performances, I think.
Yeah, both performances, especially Cheltenham. I mean, people that were there have said it could have been 8-0. Plenty of chances created, plenty of possession. Only, did they have two chances?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that struck me about that was we had like 600 and something passes with like an 83% completion rate. It was 84% at like 96 minutes. Then Gary Gardner came on and it dropped down a percent. So I'm assuming it had something to do with him. But that for me, I don't think there's ever been a game in my lifetime that I remember where we've made more than 600 passes, or probably even more than 400 to be. No.
And so even in these early round cup games, we seem to struggle against teams, and that just didn't seem the case the other night. It was like, right, we're just going to go out there, do our thing, dominate.
Just looking at it, because obviously we didn't watch it, we weren't there, but you just look at everyone's talking about it, and you're seeing stuff like Alex Dickin talking about it and what the club are saying, and then people that are there sort of tweeting about it. Then when Sky Sports News when they're doing that, they're going to the grounds, etc. The guy was just says like, Birmingham are just dominating the game, playing really good football, but they haven't even got out of second gear. So if Cheltenham did pull a goal back or start to threaten, you think that Birmingham could quite easily step things up. And you're quite right. We have always struggled against the smaller teams in the cup. We've either been knocked out or had to go to extra time and penalties and stuff like that. So it's a really positive sign. I think it's, again, a definite step in the right direction. And then Swansea as well. Against a team who we spoke about beforehand, the historically or at least recent history suggests we'll always try and play football. We matched them, went toe to toe with them, and probably played the better football, I think, throughout that game.
Yeah, I think John Eustace said that he was disappointed to have dropped the 2 points. And I can understand where he was coming from. I think that for 75 minutes, we weren't under any pressure, switched off momentarily, and they were back in it. And it's frustrating in a way to have that momentary lapse. But we did look very strong. I mean, we looked good going forwards. There was a couple of opportunities that Ivan Sunjic had. I'm not going to blame him for not taking them. I know a few people have slated him for it, but his game I thought was fantastic. The fact that he was actually not creating opportunities, but getting into the positions to have opportunities. I'm not going to slate the guy because he's there when you don't expect him to be there. If he's missing chances, he's missing chances, but at least he's in and around those situations. It's not his game.
He was doing absolutely everything, I thought, on Saturday. Really, really impressive. He worked very well in that sort of, I mean, I think it seems to be quite a common phrase to use, that double pivot at the moment. Him and Bielik, I thought, worked really well together. Then you saw Sonjic covering the fullbacks when they pushed on quite a lot. So he'd drop back. So when Laird was going forward, you would see maybe Sonjic just drop behind so he could cover. And again, when Buchanan went forward, on a very few occasions, he dropped back there as well. So it was nice to see him play so disciplined, and I think he was mostly played simple balls, didn't give the ball away too often. He was winning the ball high up the pitch as well. There was that obviously when he sort of burst from zone half and had that sort of almost half chance. The defender did made a really good challenge just at that last minute, which he deserved a goal, I thought. Even the shot he did have towards the end of the game, but he couldn't really have done much better with that one. It's just a very, very good save.
Yeah. If you've got an attacker in those situations, then you can be a bit more frustrated. But when you've got a guy whose main game is a deep midfield role, he's getting in those situations and he's doing as well as he can with them. I mean, if Scott Hogan gets into that situation where the defender gets back and puts that tackle in, you maybe say you're a forward. You should be aware that the defender's coming back, that he's going to try and make a tackle, get your shot off earlier, or be a bit cleverer with it, put your body in the way. When it's your defensive midfielder, just like, he's done the best that he could within the opportunity, and you can't ask much more from him, in my opinion.
Well, you can. He needs to score next time, doesn't he? I'm sure that's something they'll work on. It's never been a strength of his game. He's never scored a load of goals.
No, but then
and yeah, you're right. That he's not in the team to do that. But if he's going to get himself into those positions, that is something that's probably going to need to improve as the season goes on. Providing he stays, obviously.
Or you address it and say, why aren't other players in those situations? Why is it that we're relying on him to be in those situations and not your attacking midfielder, your number 10, your striker, your wingers? Why is he the one that's in those situations?
Yeah, it is a fair comment. And judging by last night's game against Cheltenham and the 20-odd shots that we missed as well, our more attacking players against lesser opposition struggled to put the ball in the net as well. So, yeah, if those two games said anything, it did say again, we're crying out for someone that can get on the end of chances and score. We probably would have won Saturday. We probably would have won even more convincingly last night.
Maybe 4-0.
Maybe 4-0. it could come. If we get a decent striker, Chris, it could come. What we need to obviously sort of focus on is, we've been saying it for the last couple of weeks, is the progress on the pitch in terms of the quality of football, how we're playing. Are we retaining the possession? There's nice patterns of play. We're creating chances. And that is very, very different from any Blues team we've seen for such a long time.
Yeah.
I think, is it liquid football? Not my words, Chris. The words of Adrian Clark of TalkSport last night. He did a little sort of, put a tweet out, a little short video on Twitter. Him and Jeff Peters had done the commentary on TalkSport, and they seem very, very impressed. And again, he said that it was just very, very easy for us to play some lovely football. But yeah, to be described as playing liquid football, like, yeah, that was just pure
part. Are you sure you're watching Blues?
That's what I thought. I was just like, this is so surreal. It's bizarre. I know it was only Cheltenham, but just to hear someone say that about the brand of football we were playing, like, it really does give me hope that everything we were talking about is just seeing progress on the pitch. It's huge. It might only be Cheltenham, but that is quite a big stride in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, should we hear what some listeners have had to say about it in the 15-second opinions? And I do apologise for putting out on Twitter that it was 30-second opinions, but you take 30 seconds, so we might as well change the fucking name.
15-second opinion.
Hi guys, Chris O'Brien here. What a fantastic away day in Swansea. Great opening day of the season. What I would say is I was mostly impressed by Ethan Laird and Lee Buchanan at fullback. It's probably the most comfortable I've sat in a Blues away end at the fullbacks probably since Liam Ridgewell and Stephen Carr. Now, that's a bit of a big shout, but they were superb. Christian Bielik was a Rolls-Royce midfield. Sundjic played really well, probably should have won it for us, but Sariki Dembele was the man, absolutely world-class.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Just want to say you can talk about signage, hot water, designer brands, etc., which are all great. But it's attractive football that is going to bring the fans back. And early doors looks like we're getting that. So keep right on.
Yeah, really impressed with the game yesterday. I thought the team looked really well balanced all over the park for once. And you could actually see a pattern of play that they were trying to do, which was makes a change. Yeah, fullback's brilliant. I thought that made a big difference to the team. Need a centre-half now, urgently. And a target man striker, I think, it will play really well. Cheers, boys. Thanks.
Afternoon, lads. Thought I'd leave my opinion. I watched Swansea game, and I was at Cheltenham. And all I've got to say is that the future looks bright. We've got some players in our team we've been crying out for ages. Keshi Anderson, I think, is going to be the standout this year. He's just got the work rate and the flair to go with it. Just need a centre-half now, and I hope we don't lose Ruddy. We really need Ruddy.
As always, thank you very much for your 15-second opinions, or 15/30-second opinions. They are much appreciated. We love getting you involved and hearing your opinions on the podcast. So thank you for sending them in. Some good points made, I think. Fullbacks, it's been one game, but they've looked really good. It was really promising, the Swansea game. We've just said that everyone looked promising. But like, what got me was how intent they were on getting forwards, but also very capable as fullbacks. The defensive side of thing wasn't just completely lost until we made changes and Laird had to go off, and it opened up that one opportunity.
It did. I think for that whole game though, I wouldn't say we were lopsided because we weren't, but you could tell that Laird was told to push on as much as possible, and Buchanan was far more conservative and only really got forward every now and then, because on the left-hand side, our real threat was coming from Dembele. But it obviously...
He didn't need to support it as much.
No.
I thought he still did well in getting forwards, though, on Buchanan's side.
Wasn't as frequent, defensively, I'll be honest, and I was saying this to somebody else the other day, I didn't really notice him that much, but I think that's probably a good thing.
Yep.
It's just one of those sort of like a bit of a 7 out of 10, you know, Mr. Dependable. Hopefully it'll be like that continually, won't make any mistakes. Whereas Laird was bombing on consistently, which considering he's been nursing an injury and I think probably had injections before he played that game, only passed himself fit the day before, you know, fair play to him. So, and I think the substitution to bring him off was actually pre-planned anyway, just to try and save him, just to try and look after him a little bit. But fair play. And, you know, Oakley came on and did an okay job. I mean, they obviously attacked down that side, and it's hard to tell whether that was actually his man or whether that should have been Sundjic that should have been picking up the person across the ball in. I can't remember who it was now. I completely agree with the fullbacks. We said already, didn't we, when we've seen Laird in pre-season, that how good he was pushing forward and defending. And yeah, I think he's going to be really, really big for us.
He was your pick, wasn't he, of all the transfers?
I'm most excited about him, because he seems to be a bit of a character as well. I think he's obviously a player that is going to be quite good, quite big in the dressing room.
Good for the camp.
All smiles as well. Yeah. At the moment, see how long it lasts. But
me, we were talking about picks of players at the start of the season that we thought were going to be sort of star players of all the transfers. I went with Miyoshi, and everyone that was there last night said, I mean, he had that one magical touch, against Swansea. And then for everyone that was at Cheltenham last night said he was incredible.
Yeah, played in the 10 role last night, didn't he, behind Duke. And from, again, going on 5-minute highlight footage off YouTube, looked very, very tidy, very inventive, creative, which is what we need,
yep.
Certainly. Well, that turn is right on Saturday.
Your doubts about him, not doubts, your concerns. Whether he's going to get bullied. And you could see that a little bit with there was the push where he's just completely pushed off the ball against Swansea.
There was two or three where he just got bowled over, and one push which I think was borderline a foul. The push was a blatant foul. Yeah,
we won't get into the fouls too much because I know we've had a disagreement on one.
the shoulder bar, it was a couple of shoulder bars. Got muscled out. Yeah, oh, we don't need to go into it. We can do if you want, but I didn't think it was a free kick. But you've not seen me play on a Friday night, so maybe that's why.
I think we won't go into it because everyone will just agree with me anyway.
Well, there we go then. So let's not. So thanks for protecting me, Chris. I really appreciate
you're
it.
You're welcome, mate. You're welcome.
But yeah, what else did we have on there? What's the other feedback we had on there other than the fullbacks?
John Ruddy.
We'll probably get onto that one in a bit, actually.
Yeah, we'll come back to it.
Yeah,
stadium and brands and whatnot are one thing, but then playing good football, positive football, creative, inventive football, that's the thing 100%. That's going to make
and
a difference.
And we've already said, we want to see progress, we need to see progress on the pitch. So yeah, I mean, exactly. I completely agree. We need to see progress everywhere, but it's the football on the pitch will bring people back, certainly 100%.
And if it's exciting as well, people are going to come away from games. Even if you lose games, people are going to come away and go, do you know what? Fuck it. We gave that a massive go. We played some really good stuff. And we know that John Eustace isn't afraid to do that. There were games last season. Was it the Burnley game where they were still chasing the game like late on? And they gave it everything. And it was like Fairfax. They were having a go.
You made some attacking substitutions on Saturday as well. If you take into account that, you know, I would have quite happily taken a draw, shut up shop, no problem, would have had no problems with that. But he's still making changes to try and influence the game towards the end. And you know, fair play to him. He wanted to go out there and win it. And, you know, the good thing is, one of the important things is now that we've actually got players that we can bring on to actually change the game. Whereas in the past, it's been far more difficult to do that.
Yeah, who can
we've actually got a few more tools in his toolbox. Well,
that's it. So without being disrespectful to some of the former players that we've had, when you've got players like Jonathan Lecco on the bench, that they're a great squad player, but you don't really want to use them unless you absolutely have to. You don't, because respectfully, it weakened the side and you don't want to do that. Whereas now we've got these other players that we can bring in and it doesn't weaken the side and it gives you fresh attacking options.
Speaking of fresh attacking options, we had a fresh introduction to the investors team this week, which we obviously spoke about the night before, and he decided to come in and kill our podcast.
We weren't expecting it to be like the next 5 day. Minutes after we put the podcast out there, weren't we? It's
like Mr. Tom Brady, winner of 7 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Unreal, really. Even though we kind of had an inkling it was coming, and obviously Daniel Ivor had spoken about it previously as well, so we knew there's links between him and Wagner, and there was a general feel that it was probably going to happen. It has now happened. Being in a blue shirt is one thing, but then all like the video that went with it, and you know, it was his birthday that day as well, so it was announced on his birthday.
And he was in Africa on holiday.
I mean, obviously the stuff he was tweeting and on his Instagram, he has a social media team that does that sort of stuff for him, but it's still very, very cool. I spent the best part of 20 years hating Tom Brady, and now I kind of love him.
It was just very, very surreal. And I tried explaining it to my missus. I was like, this guy I said to her, you know, the film 80 for Brady that you watched and that you loved, and she went, yeah. I was like, well, this is the guy that that film was like based on.
Mm.
And she didn't give a shit.
No. My other half was not impressed. Funny enough, my brother-in-law was over from the States. He lives in Denver, but he's a Patriots fan. So obviously Tom Brady is big in his household. Like, so he was like, when I told him about it, and I think he sort of looked at me and was like, yeah, right. I'm like, no, honestly, it's going to happen. And then it obviously happened. And yeah, so I still find it very surreal. Last night's tweet, getting used to the Carabao Cup or whatever, was quite,
Do you reckon he had a stream when no one else had one? I don't think he was watching it.
Probably not. He probably had more important things to do. That was probably a scheduled tweet from his social media team. Yeah. He probably sat and watched the highlights today on YouTube though.
I might have got mixed up, and he might not have been in Africa for his birthday for the announcement, but he was there for the game.
He was there last week with his daughter, yeah. Wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and apparently watched the game as well. I don't know.
On Saturday, he tweeted about Sarekhi Dembele strike,
yep.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Way to finish Sarekhi or something, whatever.
We didn't talk about before, but it was a fucking finish.
It was a fantastic finish, actually. Yeah, because I thought we'd overdone it there.
Rewind. Keshi Anderson, brilliant ball, brilliant composure to not just try and have the opportunity himself, but to square it. And then the composure to actually take your time on that finish. It was just all round. It was very well worked.
Obviously created from the press with them trying to play out from the back. And, you know, it... really effective, and we're going to have a lot of joy from that this season against some of the teams that we're going to be coming up against. So we can get into that when those games are in front of us. Right. Yeah. So
anyway, Brady,
the Brady thing, obviously they've said minor investor, it will be very, very minor. I think most people will be fully aware that this is a global marketing promotion side of thing. He probably can bring some sports science stuff to the table, and he probably will, but it's everything else he's going to bring. Already the number of views, the difference in how many Instagram followers we've got now compared to we did the day before Tom Brady joined.
It's not Hollywood, but it's the Hollywood effect, and it's what's happened with Ryan Reynolds at Wrexham. All of a sudden they're global. Everyone knows who Wrexham are. They're going out to America and they're playing friendlies in America.
Yep.
It's that connection. All of a sudden, Americans are going, fucking hell, who are these? I'm not going to do the accent, but who's this team? I want to get involved. I want to watch them. I want to follow them. And you've just said that the followers have rocketed on social media. And it's just that profile, the connection. Now, they have said that there was... Tom Brady's not just putting his money in, but he's putting his time and expertise and stuff in.
Is he on the advisory board? Yeah.
So I'm not sure how much money that they're talking about has been put in. My thinking was that they might have said, do you want to get involved? Put your profile to it and be involved, and we'll give you so many shares. But they've said that he's put his money and time into it. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
From my point of view, it's going to be minimal. It's not going to be any difference-making money, but it's what he brings, and we will see increased shirt sales. We'll see increased merchandise. It will turn Birmingham City very slowly into a much larger brand. We won't say global just yet. We tried that, didn't we, with the Chinese next step, but it didn't quite work.
Maybe this is a slightly different level.
It opens the door to so many opportunities. We've spoken before already, and I think everyone is aware that we're going to move stadiums at some point. We're probably going to be a multi-purpose stadium for concerts. There's a good chance that they'll be able to bring the NFL games to Birmingham, and that'll be one of those pitches like Spurs have got potentially. Something along those lines, you know. West Ham bring, obviously, they've got Major League Baseball that they play at their ground.
Yeah, it's a bit so different when you've got a massive, like, wide stadium. I don't want anything like that.
No, I mean, obviously...
It was an athletic stadium. It wasn't made for football. Don't give us...
We'll see what happens with with wheels or whatever they're gonna move to, which I think that seems to be it. But
we're gonna merge with Warwickshire and we're gonna have a massive cricket field and you're gonna hit 10 can you imagine miles that? Away from the pitch.
Maybe they have the UK franchise of NFL team starts in Birmingham.
You imagine? Who knows? Imagine. Not going to happen.
The Zulus.
The Birmingham Zulus.
That'd be awesome. No, it wouldn't. I don't want that to happen. Let's not do that. I wouldn't switch allegiances either. So. But yeah, very, very cool. I think there's just so much stuff that you can bring. I think we'll probably see him at a few games this season as well, potentially.
Do you think he'll bring visitors? Guests? Gronk?
I mean, there's no reason why.
Tom and Gronk down St. Andrews.
Could you ask that drinking down at drinking at Hennessy's?
Or in the Roost.
Yeah, that'd be surreal. And no doubt that will happen on one of the weeks when at the weekends when I'm not in Birmingham. but no, it's just very cool. It's like it's still so surreal. This whole thing is still quite surreal. Everything that's going on at the moment. I've had people from work message me saying, "Oh, what do you think about Tom Brady?" And I've had friends message me out of the blue about it. If these people that I haven't spoken to for such a long time automatically like think of me because I'm one of the very few Birmingham fans that they know, it's already working to a certain extent.
Yeah. Well, my cousin who lives in Ireland, he messaged me earlier on today and he said, if I buy a season ticket today, bear in mind, he lives in Ireland. If I buy a season ticket today, will I get a ticket for Leeds? And I'm like, mate, Leeds have gone. He's like, he's going to come over anyway and try and get a ticket somehow for it.
Yeah.
But I was like, he's talking about getting a season ticket. He's that excited by the stuff that's going on there now. I mean, he comes over to a few games a season anyway, but he's now talking about a season ticket. I think let's roll this into the stuff about the stadium. The feel good stuff is growing by the day. The stuff that they've done on the outside of the cop, with the cladding that they've put on there, the lettering that I can't wait to see it all lit up at a night game. That's going to look incredible. And the badge as the, just to top it off, the cherry on top on the front.
It looks awesome. We said already, just the care, the TLC that they're giving the place, little things. Well, and it already just looks so good.
Absolutely little things. So they've painted the gates. They've given them a lick of paint. We'd said before that they've gone through all of the stuff in the inside areas and done lots of work on the insides, replaced glass and they've just done loads. Clean the clear parts of the top of the cop and the Tilton. They've got pride in owning the football club, and they want Blues fans to feel proud about it as well. And if you're going to be bringing high caliber guests to the games, you want to feel you want them to be impressed by where they're coming, and ultimately they're proud and they want to be proud of what they've got, and long may it continue.
Absolutely, that's it's awesome. How do you feel about the American flag?
I mean, if it was me and I was going abroad, like, why not? It's going to be owned by an American company. Fair enough.
It doesn't bother me at all. I quite rightly, it's well within their rights as the owners of the football club to do something like that. And why not? It's not like they're going to make the fans and the players sing the American national anthem before every game, is it? It's just a
only cup finals.
Yeah. Well, you never know. Yeah. So. I know. Well, what? Who cares? If we go to a cup final, I'll quite happily quite happily do that as well. I mean, everything they're doing around the stadium, it's just the differences. That's obviously loads of people are sharing photos and bits of it inside the ground as well, and you can see that happening bit by bit,
quickly as well.
It's Yeah, very, very quickly. People just getting really excited around it. You know, the feeling is genuinely like so many good vibes. It's very hard to find anything to complain about at the moment.
Yeah,
I'm sure that will change in a few weeks. So.
Yeah, well, it's probably going to change on Saturday because we're going to the ground. So whatever hasn't been done or whatever's going to piss people off, it's going to be on Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah.
But ultimately, Rome wasn't built in a day and St. Andrew's won't be rebuilt in a day either. It's a work in progress. It's going to take a while. Things are going to take time. We mentioned the other week about the speakers and the PA system. Now that might not be done, and that's completely fine because that can be something that they fix in time, or it might be done. You know, who knows?
I have faith.
One big thing that they need to fix, and there was problems with it at Swansea away, Blues TV, and there was just a lack of communication. Didn't work for people on computers. I think it was working on mobile devices, but it wasn't working on computers. I think that needs a lot of investment. I'm sure that they're probably aware of it, but if they've got this American reach and this American audience that they're trying to target, it has to work.
And how's Tom going to watch it? How's Tom going to watch it at home if Blues TV isn't working?
Oh,
he'd be upset.
A few of them didn't have any problems. So maybe
I think there was a
people that were connected.
I think it sounded like the app, it was working on the app but not working on the browser, or maybe vice versa. I can't remember. And that's not the first time that sort of thing's happened before, because I remember during COVID there was some issues along those lines as well, where it would work on one but not the other particularly well.
I'm sure they'll get there. But that's something I think that they need to look into, because people have paid a lot of money already for season passes, and you need to improve the service on it. And I think that they're probably aware of that.
Yeah, it's just add it to the list. Add it to the list. Another thing that we have to sort out, because you know people, it's important to the people that can't get to the games that are based, I'll say just outside of the UK.
Like Ireland, for example?
They still don't get Blues TV anyway.
Do you not in Ireland?
Certainly not in Northern Ireland, but you don't get it in Southern Ireland either, because it's still classed as like a British Isle, essentially. You don't get it in like Jersey and Guernsey either.
So you use a VPN instead?
I am not going to admit to any of those shenanigans.
Okay, sorry. Sorry.
Talking of shenanigans, people may have obviously listened to the podcast last week, heard me mention my Tom Brady, Karen Brady, who wore it better, obviously tweeted out my picture on Thursday morning, wasn't it? Thursday.
Wait, please.
Aye, aye, aye. Send him to Cornea.
I think that was what you're after.
Yes. So, obviously, tweeted out my picture of Karen Brady, Tom Brady, who wore it better. Which it was moderately popular that morning. Quite funny.
But it was a silver grade tweet.
Yes. So those cretins over at the second tier podcast decided they would take that photo and tweet it out themselves with exactly the same words, with no, what's the word?
They used exactly the same photo. They used exactly the same
words.
They've copied and pasted your tweet.
Without attributing it to me at all. I mean, I've had them on mute for such a long time because the pair of them speak absolute nonsense. I think we spoke about them quite a long time ago about how they just seem to rile people up quite regularly. I think I've had them muted for a while. It was only when someone sent it to me and told me, "Oh, look, have you seen this?" I don't care about them at all. I'm just so annoyed that they've done this.
Apparently, it's not the first time that they do stuff like that quite often.
They did it later that day. Apparently, I mean, second tier podcast, second class podcast, second rate podcast,
second tier cunts. No, first tier cunts.
Well, second means two, number two. Shit podcast. I've just got just assholes. They're going to Cornea. They wound me up that morning after all the good feeling. Of just they could just fuck off. Seriously.
Aye aye aye. Send him to Cornea.
Okay, have you got that out of your system now?
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah. Good. Well, I did moan about it a couple of times last week. Obviously, didn't I?
Gone and done.
Transfer room. An interesting development. I've spoken about expanding the scouting network and things we can do to improve our recruitment. A little bit out of the blue.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Just a random post on social media.
Yeah, very, very odd. I know I've seen it before. I haven't looked into it too much. But understand that it should help accelerate transfer business both in and out of the club. Hopefully reduce dependency on agents, although it's useful for those guys too. For those that don't know, it's kind of a tool, a platform where you can share the players, the types of players you're looking for, the profiles, the positions, the budget you've got to spend in these areas, what you, and then it helps teams to, you to find teams and teams to find you or players to find you or possible suitors to find you.
Is it a bit like a real life Football Manager player search? I'm filtering out a defender. Because I'm after a defender, I want him to be left-footed. I've got about
I want to be
this range,
5'9".
Yeah, yeah. I'm guessing that it's probably going to be that sort of thing, but on in a real life scenario.
I think there's probably similarities there. I think you're probably not too far off. I think the way I sort of look at it is, it's kind of like Amazon/eBay/Match.com/Tinder for footballers. Or for teams and for players, so you can find your match quicker. You know who's on the market, who's available, what sort of price range you are, what sort of wages they'd expect, and then match them up to a team that's looking for the same type of player, the same sort of profile, in the same sort of budget range, etc. So that should help accelerate transfer business both in and out of the club. Certainly, like, I think it will help with quite a lot of sending players out on loan and stuff like that as well, and might help us sell some of the players that we need to that we intend
offload.
To move on potentially. Yeah, so I like that they've moved to do something like this. I think it's like a subscription service, and you maybe pay, like, I don't know, Championship maybe pays like £10,000 to £12,000 a year or something like that potentially.
But in Championship money, that's not very much.
It's not really a lot. I suspect there'll be some form of maybe small fee,
commission or something.
Players of but not as excessive as maybe the 5-10% that an agent would potentially take. Obviously, they're still going to probably take something anyway because they represent players, etc. But and I think it is a useful tool for agents that have got players that are out of contract and stuff as well. So. Yeah, it's nice to see the club do something a little bit different. I hope it doesn't deter them from still expanding the scouting network, but it's another step in the right direction.
Use it as an extra tool, an extra accessory that you've got that's there.
Yeah.
That's always open and monitoring. And I suppose it's like if you're using estate agents, so you're selling your house, that estate agent might then put your house onto Rightmove as well. So you're opening it out to everyone, I suppose.
And they know the people that are looking for a 3-bed.
Exactly.
Detached with a garage.
Marketed to them. So
room for a pony.
So it's basically,
all sort of
ignore all the stuff about dating apps. It's basically Rightmove for football.
Yeah, that's probably Yeah, if with the estate agents involved, obviously. So
yeah,
I like it. I like it. It's good. It's good. So as we're on the transfer subject, I suppose it's a good idea to talk about potential rumour or potential moves and rumours and things that are in the pipeline.
Mentioned earlier, John Ruddy.
Yeah,
that's the John Ruddy one for the week.
Wasn't a huge surprise because I'd heard something about it last week and just kind of almost, I didn't dismiss it out of hand, but I just sort of said, we'll see what happens. And then Alan Nixon mentioned it. Before, a couple of days before that, a Luton podcast had mentioned it on their spaces on what was Twitter, is now TwitX or X.
I can't get used to that, by the way.
No, I can't. I'll continue to call it Twitter. I think 95% of people will.
Yep.
£750,000, 37, 38-year-old goalkeeper with less than a year left on his contract.
I think originally it was sort of mentioned around £1 million, wasn't it? And it's coming out that it's just below that.
I think Blues are looking for £1 million and then maybe not expected Luton to say, we'll give you £750,000. There you go.
With your promotion
apparently,
money.
Verbally accepted. But obviously we need to find a goalkeeper to move forward. So do you think it will happen?
Do you
want it to happen and do you think it will happen? I guess it's two separate questions.
Do I want it to? Depends on who we can bring in.
Who we get in.
Yeah. Do I think it will? I think it depends who we could get in. So I think the same question, the same answer for both questions. So I don't think that they're just going to go, we can't get anyone. We'll sell you in. We'll just get someone. David Button in, who's gone to
Reading
today. Yeah. So I don't think that they'll sacrifice having a competent keeper in the team that we're trying to build. I don't think that they'll sacrifice that. And I saw someone on Twitter actually that said, why didn't we buy Sarkic if Ruddy was going? It's like, well, we can't turn back time and we can't predict the future. So couldn't really, you can't go and buy Sarkic and then stick with Ruddy, Sarkic and Etheridge all on your books. We couldn't really do that. And it's a waste of FFP.
We also don't know whether we did try to negotiate something with Sarkic and maybe he just chose Millwall instead.
Yeah.
You know, it's not completely out of the question.
No.
You know, it's unlikely someone doesn't buy into the project, but you know, it's
the project.
He made the project. It's not completely out of the question that he wanted to go to Millwall, which, you know, it's fair enough. We don't 100% know that we did definitely go in for him anyway. That's still a little bit of a grey area. But from my point of view, £750,000 for Ruddy is really good business considering his age. And I don't think, if it doesn't happen, I don't think he's the sort of person that's going to kick up a fuss about it. He's not going to be unhappy. He'll just get on and continue to be professional.
Yeah.
I don't think there'll be any issues from that side of things.
I also think it could be quite a good plan for FFP as well, that if there's a loan option available, we bring that money in. It allows us to bring another player that we need in, central defender, for example, bring a loanee in, depending on what the loan fee and
hopefully there is no loan fee because that all obviously comes off in one lump sum.
Exactly. And in that scenario, then it actually gives us a bit more leeway elsewhere. And then at the end of the season, we haven't got to rush in to buy a keeper right now. At the end of the season, we can look and see who's available, see where we are, see what the FFP situation is. And then we can go out and we can get someone permanently.
The same as it kind of works both ways, isn't it? Because you get £750,000 that you can put onto the books, and then you could potentially buy a goalkeeper for £1 million, say, over a 4-year contract, and that only takes £250,000 off that number because it's amortized over those 4 years. So it kind of works both ways, and you could potentially buy a couple of players with that cash as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, we need to be careful about wages and things like that. But I'm okay with it as long as we bring in someone competent. There are a lot of goalkeepers out there that I think are more than capable of playing in the Championship at a very good level. There's a few names bandied around already. You know, I could list a whole reel off them off, but I think we'll just maybe wait until something actually happens. But there are plenty of goalkeepers that are more, shall we say, modern type goalkeepers that can play pretty well with their feet. And I think that's essentially where we're going to end up moving with this going forward. And we know that Freddie's okay with his feet, but he's not fantastic. And we've spoken about Etheridge before, so we definitely don't need to get into that conversation. And I think he still might move as well, potentially.
No, you never know. We'll see what happens there. I was just going to say, we've had the conversation earlier in the week as well, and you say that there are so many good keepers out there at the moment. And we mentioned that you look at teams in the Premier League and it's no longer just having one good keeper and one backup who's moderately okay to cope and then a few younger guys. It's now teams are having like 2-3 good keepers. And like Chelsea, for example, have got like a fourth choice who's like who'd be in a first team in.
They've got about three or four really, really good goalkeepers that could probably play at Premier League and Champions level. It's wild. Some of them, so obviously, like you got Arsenal that are going to be sitting there with Ramsdale and Raya. And yeah, it's. And I see Man United are looking at bringing a first choice goalkeeper from somewhere else, even though they've just bought Onana. Did we start it with Benno and Vason all those years ago? And
maybe
he set the trend nice and early.
Maybe we did.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. No.
And then we did it with Mike Taylor.
We're not trendsetters.
Mike Taylor and Joe Hart.
Now, another one was that we had the heads up earlier in the week about Matt Loughton. Dirty Villa bastard.
Loughton, I think. Former Villa player.
Yeah. On trial at the moment. Don't know whether that's doing him a favour.
Right back, for those of you that aren't familiar with him, by the way. I'm sure most of you are, but it's worth just pointing out just in case you're not.
Did he play with Gary Gardner at Villa?
Gary Gardner would have been on loan for pretty much the whole time that he was at Villa. He would have been at Barnsley and Nottingham Forest, I think, during that time. But I'm sure there would have been some form of
crossover,
pre-season training or whatever.
So,
Kevin Long from Burnley, of course.
Okay, yeah.
Would have spent a long time there, probably played next to each other, I'd imagine, for a little while. Kevin Long played a huge amount of games at Burnley.
As we've said before as well, football's this bubble where people know each other. And even if you're not in the same team, you know people through people through people.
He could have reached out that way. He could have been an agent. You know, he could have been just the recruitment team scouring the market for a cheap right back.
It could have been that new app that they're using.
Absolutely could have been that. That's, you know, so he put his profile on there. They were searching for a profile of a backup Asian right back, and we found it's Asian, not Asian right back.
Well, yeah, because he wouldn't have shown up.
I'm sure there's plenty of those on the app as well. But so, I mean, for me, I know I've saw some of the people that found that heard about it and read about it and speaking about it. There's a lot of people that are underwhelmed by it. I think there's a couple of things we need to keep in mind. We've been hugely spoiled with transfers this summer already. Every transfer can't be an exciting young player with high ceiling and huge resale value. You know, I'm absolutely fine with a bit of experience, someone that's going to add some depth. He's currently earning £0 a week, so he's probably not going to want a high wage. Burnley were never huge payers anyway, and he spent last few seasons there. hopefully, or probably, hopefully, he won't be needed. He won't be needed that often, because hopefully, he says, Ethan Laird will be, will remain fit. And you know, but you know, having that cover as backup, a little bit of experience, it gives us the opportunity to maybe even loan out Oakley to a League One team or to the SPL to get him more experience of regular game time. Josh Williams the same, maybe. I've no issue with it at all. We're bringing in quite a lot of young players, so having another old head back there, we've already brought down the age of the squads. Another old head back there, you know, that's familiar with a winning team, Premier League football, stuff like that. It's not such a bad thing. So I say, I was just remember it's still just a trial. There's been no signing yet. It could happen, it might not, but that's just, you know.
If it does happen, don't lose your shit about it just being Matt Loughton.
I'd rather spend $5,000 a week on Matt Loughton and go and bring maybe a loan from the Premier League in or something like that, where we're having to pay $20,000 towards a wage or something for a player that might only play five or 10 games during the season.
It's not a priority.
And the last trialist we signed was Keshi Anderson, and people had a good moan about that as well. And
he's done all right.
Quite happy with him now, aren't they? Okay, different sort of player, but you know, let's just see what happens. It's just cover. Hopefully he won't have to be playing 45 games this season or plus. Because obviously if you include all the games to take us to the cup finals that we're going to
and playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it'll be closer to 60 by then, won't it? So
yeah. Both cup finals as well.
Absolutely both cup finals, yeah. 100%.
If you enjoy our podcast, please don't forget to like, share and comment on social media.
And if the podcast platform allows it, please rate and review us.
Cheers, guys. Now it's that time of the week. Are you ready, Chewy?
I'm ready.
Wagner of the week.
Come on, then. Who have we got this week?
Bakker scored. Fuck. Bakuna, I'm not doing that. I'm not falling into that trap. Lerdo, Bakuna, Bakker, sorry. Fuck. No. He scored two. Sunjic, very, very good on Saturday. The vegan got double predictions, right?
He did.
I normally have an idea in my head who I want to go with on this one. We've got Tom Brady as well there. I'm going to go with the previously much maligned Ivan Sunjic, because I thought he was outstanding on Saturday, and you know, he may still have a career left with the club, albeit maybe just for one season, unless he wants to lower his wage demands and huge bonus.
It is a huge bonus.
He comes from the front.
His bonus is massive. So that's your nomination. I don't really know who to go with. So I've got one. I'm going to go for the project manager that is putting all of the signage up on the outside of the cup, because everybody has been sharing it all week. Paul Delves has been incessant on it. So that's...
I've noticed, yeah.
You can't get away from it. Yeah, for me, that's the Wagner of the week. Whoever the project manager is, take a bow. I can't really add to that. That is what it is.
Fair nomination to Mr. Project Manager. The Project Manager.
Project Manager. So, shall we look forward to Leeds on Saturday?
I think everybody is looking forward to Leeds on Saturday.
It's going to be a sellout. All the tickets have gone.
How many is that actually? Out of interest, what does that look like?
We'll find out on Saturday, won't we? I think they've gone to extra efforts to open up parts of the stadium that have been shut for a while. I think some of the segregation and stuff has been removed. I think there were certain people that have come in that weren't very happy about that. They weren't very happy that parts of the stadium have just been shut off because it's been easy to do. I think that may be one for another day. But yeah, it's going to be buzzing. The place is going to be buzzing.
I'm so gutted. I can't come over for it.
Quick flight.
If I could, I would. It's not possible, as you know, at this point in time. I can't go over for that. I'm absolutely gutted for doing it, especially as well. If the rumours of Tom Brady coming over are true, also, you know, that's going to be, as you know, it's quite funny that one. I think obviously we mentioned briefly the other night, but if he does come over, his first game will be against Leeds, who are owned by 49ers Enterprises. He grew up in San Mateo. He grew up as a 49ers fan. Used to go to all their games. Went to college. Went to high school there before he went to college. It's a little bit coincidental there, I think. So yeah. Interesting.
Nice little backstory.
Bit of a tangent there. Yeah. I'm sure. Hopefully,
that no one cares about.
No one really cares about that, though. Leeds look like they've been hit by a bit of an injury bug lately as well.
Four first-team players. Yeah,
they looked pretty good on Sunday, even when they went 2-0 down to Cardiff. They still looked pretty good going forward. Obviously, they scored equalised towards the end. But yeah, lost a few players. They signed Joe Roden, I think, this morning from Spurs. And they were due to sign Max Ahrens. I thought they were. And he walked out during his medical to go and take a medical at Bournemouth and sign there instead. Literally in the middle of a medical and left.
No way.
So they'll be scratching around for... Is Max Ahrens a left back? Is he a left back? He's a fullback, isn't he? Some description.
I think so.
So they'll be scratching around for another player before the cutoff on Friday lunchtime. I'm hoping we get at least a centre back in by that point.
But yeah, I mean, we sort of mentioned it earlier on about being a requirement. Obviously, Mark Roberts out for a few weeks, and it was probably highlighted a little bit in the Cheltenham game. But we definitely need some squad depth there. I think that the fact that that was like the positions that we didn't rotate in speaks volumes.
I mean, there's nobody to bring in, is there, apart from a couple of kids. Rico Brown, who I think they're trying to look for a loan move for him. The other ones we've got that we can play there are very young. Olifin Jana as well, who's been playing for the 21s during the week. So, don't know if he's at that level yet. And to be honest, at this point of the season, it's very, very early. Okay, you're at risk of getting injured in every game you play in. But you can't really think like that. It's very, very early in the season. I don't think we have to worry about that at this point in time. But 100%, we do need to bring in at least one more centre-back. The problem we've got with, even when Mark Roberts is fit, is the last couple of seasons he's had quite a few injuries that he's picked up throughout each season. So we need to be a little bit more careful about how we use him as well anyway. And Sanderson has had back problems for the past two or three seasons as well, even before he joined us. So, yeah, it goes without saying we just need somebody else to slot in there. I assume it'll be a loan and we'll maybe look for something more long-term next season. But yeah, there's still quite a few holes to fill, isn't there?
That's what she said. Well, let's not get stuck on that anyway. Let's prediction.
That's what she said.
Prediction?
I feel like I have a full sense of hope after absolutely thrashing Cheltenham 2-0 with liquid football, Chris. I just think the atmosphere and the vibe and just the positivity going into that game is going to be absolutely crushed as Leeds turn us over 3. No, I think we'll win it. I'm gonna go 2-1 Blues. I just hope it's getting late in the week now that Ruddy is still with us, because I think we need the calm head at the back, the experience. I just hope Laird's fit. I hope Tyler Roberts is fit, because I fancy him to score one against his old club. And Leeds like to play it out from the back as well. And if you look at the pressure we potentially put on them with the press, that has looked ever so good, even in pre-season friendlies, I think we could cause them real trouble. I just fancy it. And they've, even with their injuries, they've still got a Premier League team there, really, Premier League players. So I can't imagine we'll get out of that without a clean sheet. But I fancy us to win. I'm confident we will win. Got a full sense of hope.
For me, they're beatable. They're not invincible. And they've had those injuries. They've got new players coming into the squad all the time. But they're there. They're there for the taking. And it's going to be absolutely buzzing. Everyone's going to be... The atmosphere is going to be incredible. 4-0 Blues.
You've shocked me with that one, Chris. I just wasn't expecting it. Where did you get that one from?
I've had a vision.
Is that liquid football against...
Oh, absolutely. Cheltenham, liquid football. Birmingham City have won 4-0.
Not my words, Chris. The words of Adrian Clark.
Wait and see. 4-0 Saturday.
Apparently, they've got more injuries. I've just had a quick look. Apparently, Daniel Farker says his Willy was not available. I think he's talking about Will Ignoto.
Oh, I really want to hear him say that, because I think we mentioned before, he looks like a Bond villain and he sounds like a Zoolander villain. I'd just love to hear him say it.
I quite like him as a manager, actually. But it looks like they've got a few more injury problems. So let's hope we can take advantage of that. It's that sort of thing that, again, continues to give me all this false sense of hope. Hopefully not false sense of hope.
Yeah. Just hope. Yeah. Just hope. It's just hope.
But yeah, people that go in, enjoy it. I am insanely jealous. I will see people at Bristol City. I'm really looking forward to that next week. Chris, as we'll be going to that together with Daniel and the vegan and some other people. So I'm looking forward to that. It'll be exciting. But yeah, hopefully the Leeds game.
Party bus trip.
A party bus. If we can sort it.
Right.
I'm excited.
Yeah. We can talk about that next week.
We will.
Have a safe journey there.
And back. Enjoy the game.
Enjoy the game, yeah. And until next week, keep right on.
Keep right on.